Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Of this living water for each and every one of us. He can do that. Amen. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Old Testament, he said, I will open up streams in the desert, praise God, where you wouldn't expect to find it. I'll open up these streams, praise God. Hallelujah. It talks about participating. They all drank of that spiritual rock. And that rock was Christ. Can you say amen? See, if you're not drinking, if you're not participating, amen, then church is just a service, and we're trying to tell you about something, sing about something that people are not participating in. They all drank of that water that was provided for them. It wouldn't have done them any good. They would have died of thirst in the wilderness if they didn't drink of what God had provided for them. But they all drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ in symbol. That meant there's one coming that can give living water to you. Amen. And when he comes, you can drink of that water every day. Don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You need it more now than you'll ever need it. Amen. In this dry and thirsty land. There's a river in heaven. Praise God. And God says, I'm going to take some of the water of that river. And through the Holy Spirit and through Christ's sacrifice, I'm going to bring that very water, this river of life, I'm going to bring it to you. Can you say amen? Drink deep of the spiritual water that I have provided. For it comes from the river of life that flows from beneath my throne. The river, yea, that will cause life and not death to reign throughout all eternity. Drink from that water even now, for your soul is thirsty. Let me satisfy the thirsting of your soul, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you glad we can let the Holy Ghost have His way and just follow His lead? Hallelujah. Everybody say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Have your way. Compose the song. Give Mike the music.
Give
us the voices.
And
the heart to praise you even more. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him a hand clap if you love him today. You may be seated for a few moments. We've got a lot to accomplish, and we've accomplished a lot already. Praise God. I almost feel like preaching on being delivered from the prison of want one of these days. I will. Amen. Hopefully next Sunday. I'm having some extensive dental work done early in the morning. And I haven't slept much last night because I worked last night. So I'm going to let Brother Sean fill in for me again this evening. So Brother Ninnis will be ministering this evening. And I'm glad I've got an associate minister. And I'm glad I've got an associate in Doug and my sound man, an associate in music, Brother George, an associate musician, and composes this, puts it together, Brother Mike. Amen. I'm glad I've got an associate in life, Sister Pamela. Praise God. She's my secretary, and I plan to run off with her along about May and celebrate our 43rd wedding anniversary, 43 years. Praise God. Hallelujah.
He said something precious to me last night. He's going to be put to sleep in the morning, and he says, you know, I have absolutely no fear of being put to sleep. What a way to go, you know, if it's your time. But he says, I thought, if it was my time, what would I do differently? And he said, I would take the time to tell me what I've meant to him all these years. He's been too busy to tell me that. So he took the time last night to tell me. Ditto.
Well, thank you. I thought she said ditter. Anyway, moving right along. Ditter, we love you. When you're not here, I have to pick on someone else in this audience, and they're so glad to see you come back from Washington State out of the cold and all of this stuff in Washington State. We I have a lot of things going on between our estimates. We're going to get some more estimates on our building situation. I believe, you know, I would love to be able to build and pave at the same time so we don't have this other thing kind of hanging over, so we're, when we open the door, we can grow without wondering if we grow, we're going to have to pave and all of those things. And I believe we can probably get a better price. The last time I talked to the contractor, he was talking about, you know, quality as opposed to a better price per square foot, and because he knows we can find a better deal, and quality is an issue, and we're just praying the Lord will give us peace as we seek to build. We haven't ruled out, while seeking to build, buying. If a developer wanted to give us $400,000 cash and we found a $600,000 church facility somewhere where God wanted us to be, turnkey, you walk in, you don't go through all the other stuff, we're wide open for that. That's a possibility. You know, it all begins with the first step, and we've taken the first step, and unless, you know, Abraham was told to go. He wasn't told where to go, but he was told to go, and he packed up and went. But as he went, God began to give him instruction. Well, we feel like we have made that first step of faith now to follow and pursue God's will and purpose. And I would like to just do this not in any kind of heavy way because we're not, our back is not against the wall. We've got, I'm having fun right here. Hallelujah. God wants us to go from here in terms of growing and reaching more people. And we're going to need a better context for the ministry in order to do that. Amen. Because you drive by, even if we tell people how to get here, sometimes they drive by and think it's just a big house, you know, and sometimes we're perceived just as a large home prayer meeting, which in a sense we are, but we're a church. We've never quit being a church. We are the Holy Church of God Incorporated. And I'm the president director, and George is the treasure director, and Pamela is the secretary director. And like I say, I can run off with my secretary and not be wrong with God or my wife. Amen. Can chase her and catch her too. Hell, if she doesn't run too fast, praise God. Hallelujah. But we're looking into to not just the possibilities, but the probabilities that are before us, that we're going to find a better opportunity. And if any of you, we just want to, this next few weeks, would you just make it a personal prayer each day to say, Lord, direct us, let your will be done, as we have taken, are taking at this present time, steps of faith. Now, it may well be that the representative of this particular contractor that gave us this wealth of information that we needed, he just was so forthright and forthcoming in giving us cost and wealth of information that it would have took me a long time and a lot of time to accumulate. He's got all of this, and he even, you know, he told me what we can expect in terms of financing. He told me he's the one that helped us find out what our worth is from $150,000 4 years ago to $400,000 as the market value at this point, and how easy it is to get a equity loan with nothing down or nothing required. This stands so well for an equity loan. But if a developer wanted this to put, townhouses or whatever they wanted to do, or a business wanted it, then it would bring top dollar. And top dollar, I think it was mentioned that if we took $400,000 from this and put in a $600,000 facility, we'd have over $500,000 facility, if that's what the Lord wills. And he'd have to show us a facility, because we couldn't really, the way things have changed, move from here and buy anything that's equal to this for any less. This is a good deal. Everybody say, oi, have I got a deal for you. Hallelujah. That's a little Abraham coming out there. Praise God. God gave us a deal on this, and he gave us a good deal on this. And the guy that looked around what we had here was very, very impressed with the possibilities of developing this piece of land. Enjoy what I'm doing and don't miss what I'm doing even now. Don't wait for something to happen. It's happening now, saith God. Yea, but rejoice also in what I will do and what I will to do. Therefore, seek me and seek my face. My heart is upon thee. My heart for good is upon thee, saith God. Therefore, seek my face, and I, the Lord, will direct thy way as I have promised, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We have his heart. We have his blessing. For a small people, we've done extraordinary things. Sometimes we just look at our smallness and we just don't see what a blessing. And I want to thank you for your giving. It was a year that so impressed me with the way that people gave. I mean, Jesus wasn't looking so much in the New Testament at what they gave as how they gave. So it was when we give from our heart, and we mean it from the heart for the work of the Lord. There have been gifts come in for the vision, and we do have a vision. And the devil hates that. He fights that. I believe discouragement is one of the giants that opposes everything that God promises and everything that we pursue in the Lord. And one of Satan's greatest weapons is discouragement. And I won't mince words in telling you that I have fought many battles with this giant. But I also want to tell you that with God's help, we've won them all. Can you say amen? This is a giant that will fall if we'll keep looking to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if someone will pass the offering tray this morning, we'll give again to the vision and to the work that God has called us to. And we want to thank you again for being so very, very generous and so faithful. Hallelujah. One day we'll talk about what you can expect for your faithfulness and how to claim it. And we'll just, all of us, begin to believe God for what He has promised to do in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a time to sow and a time to reap. And know that the reaping will come. Be patient and persevere. If thou hast sown good things are coming. If thou hast sown liberally, then great blessings are just ahead. Therefore, do not be discouraged. Keep on sowing. Yea, for the Lord is faithful to bless thee according to my promise and my purpose, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. I know it's been tough sometimes after sowing and not immediately seeing. Amen. I will not be indebted to you, saith the Lord. Yea, I will keep my promise. I will not be indebted to you, saith the Lord. But I will perform my word concerning thee. I will not be indebted unto thee, saith God. But I will bless thee according to what I have promised. Therefore believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. For even this day I have prepared the blessing for thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It's coming. Somebody say it's coming. Glory to God. It's a coming. Might have been a long time coming, but it's coming. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
You know, a lot of this is attitude too, okay? And I want to tie two things together. Last year, you know, Tracy lives in London, so our daughter. So last year she got the wrong visa last year. And she had to come home this year to get it again and another one. Well, you know, usually works like clockwork, but, you know, it didn't happen this time. She got stuck here last weekend. She was supposed to leave. And, you know, and our attitude, mine, Patty's, Tracy's, you know, we stopped a minute and said, you know, this is God. God's up to something here, you know. So, I mean, and that was our attitude. Nobody got discouraged. Tracy didn't get discouraged. We just kind of relaxed. And sure, I mean, she wants to go back home. But, you know, we all kind of we chilled out and said, you know, God's in this. There's something going on. We didn't know what it was. Well, this week, Tracy's dad, Patty's ex-husband, his wife killed herself this week. And, if Tracy had been gone, there would have never been a way for her to get back here, okay? So we waited all week for the information about the visa. Well, She finally got a hold of the visa office, and you know, they got to talking and finding out that there was no reason that she couldn't have got the right visa last year, that there was a mistake. But the mistake was made last year, so she'd be here this year to be with her dad, because God knew that Carol was going to do this. So it was an ad. And what I'm trying to tie together is, yeah, things have been slow. I mean, it doesn't look like anything's happened, but I just feel like it's our attitude. God's in this. God's with us. He went way before Tracy last year to this day, and God's been way ahead of us since we all first got together. This is the core. I mean, we've stayed together, and I believe that God is in preparation, just like He said. And but what I'm saying, it's about attitude, and it's about keeping the vision, about supporting the vision, about praying for the vision. Let's not lose focus now. And it's easy to get discouraged, and I know you do, and I do too, because, you know, we come up here on Sundays and, you know, there's four people out there, but God's here. He's here every single week. We bring Him here. God's blessed us here. God is, His anointing is in this place, and I know it's for a purpose. So, folks, don't get discouraged now. I mean, in the past we have. But I think Lord has grown us up tremendously. And, you know, when we tend to get discouraged now, it's like, nah, we can't go over on that side of the fence anymore. So just be positive. Keep the vision and just keep praying. I think God's about to just do a work. And, you know, it's not about having 500 people in the church. It's about the Lord bringing those who are lost and those who are in bondage. You know, it doesn't matter if there's five of us, as long as people are getting saved, people are getting set free, and God is just allowing Him to love them and save them. Praise Hallelujah. The Lord. Amen.
Praise okay. God. Well said. Hallelujah. Keep the vision. Keep the focus. Amen. And we'll just do that at this part of the service by giving in this offering generously. Praise God. Thank you again for your giving. How many are glad that God has a blessing in store for you? Personally, I mean, all of us collectively and corporately, but even to us personally. Heavenly Father, bless this offering. Once again, this Sunday morning, we give because we love you, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, that you're mindful of us and that you're investing in us. Lord, we invest of our material possessions back into your work and your kingdom. The greatest investment we can ever make in this world is of an investment that will bless us in this world and in the world to come. In the name of Jesus, we give this offering and we receive it for the glory of God. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your giving today. Did I give you a disc? Praise God. If you have your Bibles, even while you're giving, while it's coming around, and we thank you once again. And we ask you to be as faithful as you possibly can. It's encouraging to each other to see each other on Sunday morning. Praise God. And we thank you for that. And there will be times when we all, like Sean this morning and like me one tonight, that we have to be out for various reasons. But every opportunity, come and support the work of the Lord. God will bless you for it. And you'll be a blessing to others. Amen. And you'll be blessed. I actually believe you'll receive something that can bless you if you come here with an open heart. Amen. So we're grateful for what the Lord is doing and saying. We're not just preaching here. We're always making a disc of this that goes out of here as God leads. And I think some people have come here just to help get the disc out sometimes. And they convey the ministry out into other people, get copies made and take them and send them. And the gospel is still going in places we could never get it if the Lord didn't get it there for us. Hallelujah. And so we're grateful for that. We just watch Him work and stand in awe many times. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, book of beginnings, for just a few moments. Genesis 28. I'm going to begin reading a little bit about Jacob's ladder. You know the story a little bit, maybe a lot. You've heard the song, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder." Amen. And it's a very real experience in Jacob's life at a time in his life when he needed something from God really desperately. When he didn't know where his life was going to take him. He didn't know how it was all going to end up. And it's a story of God's grace and God's involvement in each and every one of our lives. Amen. And it's God's answer for life's uncertainties in this chapter of Genesis. Everybody say, God's answer for life's uncertainties. Now, if there's anything weighing on your mind this morning, underneath all of that, there's a core to it. It's life's uncertainties. Amen. If you've just been, if you've been to a doctor, and someone may be hearing this, so I'm not just talking to this congregation. Someone will hear this. Someone's been to a doctor and they're awaiting a biopsy. Then there's an element of uncertainty, and you could take them to the finest restaurant in town. They won't be able to shelve that issue until they get the result of that biopsy. You know why? Because they don't know for sure. They have great hopes. As a Christian, we may be standing, believing God for a good report. And the good report may well come. But there, until it comes, there's going to be an element of uncertainty. And that element of uncertainty is going to cause an unrest. Amen? There may be people in a relationship that their hurtful words have been said. And now we don't know how it's going to be. And we don't know how it's going to turn out, whether people are going to bust up or whether they're going to find solutions. We don't know about bird flu, do we? We don't know if it's going to mutate. The world is preparing for the possibility that it could mutate in a person-to-person epidemic that because of the travel and the interaction that we have internationally, an epidemic anywhere could easily become a pandemic, which means something that is global. They said a bird flu, if it did mutate, if it did transform to where it could go human to human, that there would be more people that would die now because of the population than there was during the Black Plague during the Middle Ages, amen, or during that time period, amen. It would be millions upon millions of people would die because there is no real effective antidote. Antidote would have to be developed after it mutates and they find out exactly what kind of strain that they're dealing with. Incredible things face the earth. Pestilence is one of the signs of the last day scenario. So the possibility of pestilence, men's hearts failing them for fear, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence, it's all part of a last day thing. That there's an uncertain future. We don't know how the Iraq situation is going to finally turn out. There's an underneath there's an uncertainty, and is as consoling and comforting and confident that the president speaks to us. No one can really say for sure what the end result. Right now, with all the peace efforts, there's threat of a civil war within, and America's caught between factions that are threatening to war among themselves, and we're supposed to hold that delicate balance. Iran is developing nuclear capability. They are the sworn public enemies of Israel and say that they want to destroy Israel nationally. If they get a nuclear device, they will surely use it against Israel. The hate is that entrenched in Iran, and they're threatening America. Korea has nuclear capability. There's been a real delicate balance with Korea. China now is kind of becoming chummy with nations that are really hard on human rights. In America, our president is chiding the Chinese government. There's kind of a rift beginning between America and China, and China is a nuclear power and a great military might. And China, believe it or not, is a supplier of Walmart, of many of their products, and they're an economic. One of the reasons oil prices are beginning to fluctuate and spiral is because China, with all of its people and all of its vast resources, is becoming an industrialized nation. They are not backward anymore. They're coming right on line with Europe and America as an industrialized nation, and their consumption of energy is just spiraling through the roof, and more nations are wanting more and more of the resources necessary to drive our economies. Do you realize what would happen if they did bomb the oil fields in Europe and in America? It would literally cripple the economy. That's all it would take. They wouldn't have to bomb us. Just stop or interrupt. Katrina interrupted for just a little while the flow of oil. And you see what happened. There was a threat of gas prices going to $6 and higher if they didn't get that oil refineries back online. It's that crucial. Amen. Why are you saying all this? Because you can't live realistically and deny that all these things are out there. Wars and rumors of wars becoming more frequent. Diseases that are resistant to best medical efforts are out there. We've taken so many antibiotics because we want to get the cold out of the way and get on with our business. Nothing wrong with that. But it's easier for a doctor just to prescribe. Amen. And so now there are infections that are resistant to antibiotics. And they're concerned that a new strain of pneumonia or flu will come along that their best antibiotics won't be able to counteract because of the resistance that has been built up now. The body, the people that have taken so many, amen, don't have the immune system they used to have in terms of antibiotic working for them. So you read all this, you're sitting anywhere, and you're reading all this stuff, and you just, you know, your spirit inside is beginning to realize that you live in a world that is filled with such uncertainty. And this is where Jacob was in his life. Amen. Here's a man that doesn't know anything for certain except that he's just got to survive one more day. Amen. He's not on a pilgrimage to find God. He's just trying to now find his way in life. And I want to pick up the narrative in Genesis 28 and verse 10. Are you interested in this today? And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went down toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place. There's no name yet for this place. It will be named later Bethel. But right now it's not a place of any kind of notoriety. It has no spiritual significance. He's just tired and he's going to rest here for the night. And he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. And all of you that just sent off for that magnificent bed that goes up and down and has a massager in it, can you say amen? This was not unusual for people in the Middle East. They lived hard lives and harsh lives. And when they were outdoors, you found a place to lay down and you found a smooth stone. You put it under your head and you probably, I would just assume that you put your arm on the stone to prop your head and then put your head on the arm. I can't imagine, well, there's a few people that the stone would be all right, hard-headed people, but amen. I can imagine you talk about being between a rock and a hard place. That's exactly where Jacob was. Amen. And he put them for his pillows and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he went to sleep in this place, tired, worn out, filled with uncertainty. And he dreamed. And in this dream that God gave him, this wasn't too much pizza. Amen. And behold, a ladder was set upon the earth. Something he needed to know, needed to get in touch with. A ladder was set up. It came with a way he could understand. Amen. A ladder was set up upon the earth and on the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. Everybody say, the God of the universe is involved with the affairs of men. Upon this earth. Isn't that incredible? Everybody say it again. The God of the universe is involved in the affairs of men upon the earth. Angels are ascending and angels are descending. Angels are getting in assignments and angels are coming to this earth to carry out assignments. If you want to know a little more about that, you go over in the New Testament and it said angels are ministering spirits and they are assigned to us. They are sent to us to minister in behalf of those, amen, who are sanctified, set out and set apart unto God. Isn't that incredible? Amen. There are angels that watch over America. I believe that we have angelic assistants watching over this nation. And I believe there are angels. If something happens, it's because God is trying to get our attention of the need for His covering, not to take it away. Can you say amen? If it didn't exist, we would have been hurt more. We haven't been hurt more because many people are praying. Amen. And Homeland Security is not just, amen, the CIA or our great military. Amen. Homeland Security, amen, is when the church begins to intercede and God puts a wall of righteousness around the people. Amen. They don't know it, but the greatest Homeland Security is a church that really knows how to pray and the church in prayer. And God's blessing upon a nation and a people. Called a hedge. Something the devil can't get around because he went up that ladder uninvited, that corridor between heaven and earth. Amen. God put it in terms a man could understand it, showed him a ladder, but it's not a physical ladder, but it's a corridor between heaven and earth. Amen. Between these two worlds where God interacts with man upon the earth through angelic, amen, angelic assistance. Boy, I'm so glad to know that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them, amen, that serve Him and fear Him, amen, to deliver them. Amen. Their work is specifically in our behalf according to the Scripture. Praise God. If we could get off in an angel message in a hurry. Amen. The world has even popularized the concept of angels. The problem is everyone's got them. And they're all good and they're all from God. But the real biblical basis for angelic assistance is fearing the Lord and bowing to Him and being right with Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Psychologists tell us that thousands of Americans are suffering from anticipatory anxiety, not just because of 9/11, but that's just the way we, because of the world that we live in. Kids are beginning to feel the stress of it. Amazing what 10 and 11-year-olds are afraid of, the things that they fear in life now that they never would have dreamed of back in the 40s and 50s and 30s. There's so many uncertainties in life. The Scriptures tell us in the last times men's hearts will literally fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Everybody say uncertainty. The Bible spoke of uncertainty this way, getting more pronounced in the last days, that there would be distress of nations, listen to this, with perplexity. The Greek word is puzzlement. It means we see all of these things that need to be addressed. We know that there's all kinds of things that we need to fix in our world, but we just don't know what the solutions are. We don't have the answers. That's puzzlement. That's perplexity. And it feeds the anxiety about things to come because of the uncertainties of life. Ronald Short, who's with the Lord now, used to play with my dad, and we used to go to a radio station, and he used to sing on the platform of the old Holy Church of God, "Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. You must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave." It's talking about we don't know what another day is going to bring. Life is like a mountain railroad. You can't have this straight shot with no bends in the road and no bridges out. We need a God that can help us through all of the situations and circumstances of life. But we have such a God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not our. And the chorus of that talked about keep your eye on the rail and your hand on the throttle. Well, you know something? I really need to let the Lord take that. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't stop quick enough and I can't turn quick enough. And if you're on a railroad, you can't turn anyway. See, life, you can't turn from certain things. Certain things you've got to face. It's good to know that God interacts with man and gives help to man on this planet. Praise God. As a matter of fact, I hadn't had the gift of tongues yet. And the first time I ever spoke in tongues in my life, it short-lived because I was doing it and I quit immediately because I thought it was me and it was. You have to do it. Can you say amen? But it has to come from God, not yourself. Praise God. But it really, flipped me out. Amen. I was going down the road, and I was just rejoicing in the Lord, and I remembered another bluegrass tune from Ronald Short. Amen. Troublesome waters around me they roll, tossing my ship and tempting my soul. But under the waters, there's an unseen hand guiding my boat to that better land. I was singing that old, the troublesome waters around me they roll, tossing my boat and tempting my soul, but under the water there's an unseen blah 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 blah. I started talking in tongues, but it was more than a blah blah blah. Amen. But it wasn't fluent. Amen. But I just felt the presence of God in that car. I felt that He was in control of my life. That when I gave my life to Jesus, amen, that He was going to direct me. Hallelujah. That no matter what I faced, His hand would be upon me, and a joy welled up inside that I could not express. And I tried to find the words, and the only thing I could say was la 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 la. Then I said, "Lord, have mercy, that's me." Amen. And it was me. And when I finally got fluent in the gift of tongues, guess what? It was me speaking in tongues. Praise God. But it wasn't coming from here. It was coming from there. It's See, that's what threw me off. I thought, I didn't think this about, I didn't even think about it before I said it. It had to come from here and not from here. So much comes from here, doesn't it? And not from here, praise God. Out of your belly, the centermost part of your being, where the real you lives, hallelujah, and where God lives within you, shall flow rivers of living water, hallelujah. We don't know what awaits around the bend. Jacob was facing a very uncertain future. He was far from home and could not be sure of ever coming back. He had no assurance of finding a wife, a job, or a home to stay in, or even having his basic needs met. He was seemingly all alone in a hostile world, and no guarantee that he would not be hunted down and killed by his brother Esau, or that he would not be harmed by a bandit or wild animal, this commentator goes on to say. Jacob was living in a very uncertain times, and he needed a word of encouragement and assurance from God. Jacob did not deserve anything. If you know his story, you'll know why. But God in his mercy came to Jacob anyway. Everybody say, thank God for the God who comes anyway. You didn't deserve him coming to you, but he came anyway. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that good of him? I'm so encouraged when I read the story of Jacob's ladder, because it tells me that the God of the universe is concerned and involved with the affairs of his children upon the earth. I'm going to read. Let me just tell you what sets this up. Jacob had just traveled 70 miles of his 450-mile journey to Haran. First leg of the journey. He needs to rest for the evening, so he set up camp in a certain place. And it's not especially noteworthy, by the way. It does not even have a name where he spent the night. It's not known as a place for divine visitations. He was not on a pilgrimage. He was not seeking some spiritual event to take place in some so-called spiritual place. Nothing particularly holy about the place. It's just a place of dirt and stones. So Jacob had no reason to expect anything unusual. Soon after, Jacob goes to sleep with his head on a rock, which is not unusual for people in ancient times. God comes to Jacob in a dream. Everybody say, God comes at unexpected time in unexpected places. I used to go on fast expecting God to come at an expected time, an expected place, and do an expected thing. And God did move in a congregation after I fast and pray. But in my personal quest to experience more of Him, a lot of times it was disappointing. I fasted, I prayed, I felt spiritually qualified for a visitation from God. I mean, there was a place down from what used to be the parsonage, amen, that had pina colada milkshakes. I mean, real coconut, real pineapple. They were so good. Every time I started fasting, I would pass that place and think, man, oh man, if I wasn't fasting. Amen, because when you're not fasting, it doesn't seem as good as when you can't have it. Can you say? Therein is the sacrifice and the discipline. And I wanted to stop. And Church's Fried Chicken was just down the street. And I'd drive by there going somewhere. Amen. You could just smell that fried chicken. And you could just go get a big old chicken breast. Amen. You know, just not because you're hungry, just because it's there. You're going to eat dinner when you get home, but just one big chicken breast. Amen. You don't have to get the dinner and the fries. Just the one big deep fried chicken breast. And maybe that pina colada milkshake. Amen. And I thought, boy, God's going to show up right here, right now, because I've sought Him and I'm qualified. I've sacrificed. I'm qualified. And nothing unusual happened to me. Sometimes God moved in a mightier way in a congregation. I'm sure in the spirit realm some things happened. But nothing visible I could see in my body. You know, and so it can kind of put you off fasting and praying, because you can say, boy, I did all this and I expected Sunday to be business as usual. I mean, to be great, and it was just business as usual. Well, you didn't see up in that realm. You didn't see what Jacob saw. You didn't see what Jacob saw. And you needed, through the eye of faith, to see what Jacob saw. That God is moving in the spirit realm. Between heaven and earth, there's activity. Amen. God is expediting His plans and bringing to pass His purposes. And angels are carrying out assignments in our behalf. Angels on assignment. I don't need to read any more in the book. Hallelujah. Just knowing they're assigned to me is a comfort to me. Somebody said this morning, God's up to something. Glory be to God. Everybody say, God's up to something. Glory to God. And when God is up to something, He puts His people a-praying. And we've called to prayer these next few weeks. I'm not going to say 5 weeks, 4 weeks. I'm just going to say pray until we see all this clearly and it all comes together. Can you say amen? However long that takes, you can't pray too much anyway. God shows up at unexpected times and unexpected places. That's the incredible thing about Him. You can't plan any of this. Maybe in the shower. It may be during your drive to work. Or when you're cooking dinner. The well-known worship chorus, Lord, You are more precious than silver. Remember that? Was actually received by a lady while she was cooking French fries at McDonald's. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
And when next time you sing that song, remember the Christian that these words and all this beautiful melody came to was cooking French fries at McDonald's when this came to her. See, she wasn't in that great meeting that she drove 800 miles to be in with that great speaker, and the glory fell, and 8,000 people were slain in the Spirit, and she got a song while she was velcroed to the floor. No, she was cooking
Hallelujah.
French fries at McDonald's, and God just showed up in her heart with a melody and a praise that churches are praised and worship teams are singing all over the world. More precious than silver, more costly than gold. Hallelujah. Amen. Who'd have thought it? If it's somebody cooking French fries at McDonald's. Hallelujah. Isn't it glad? Aren't you glad to know you don't have to be, amen, Michael O'Mardian? You probably don't remember him, a great producer and songwriter of the 70s of Christian songs. You don't have to be a great hymn writer like Charles Wesley or John Wesley. All you have to do is a Christian. Hallelujah. For God to show up. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? God is not limited to showing up at spiritual places, so-called, such as the church building. Now, of course, God is everywhere, but special manifestations of God. Amen. He does it when He chooses to do it to whom He chooses to show it. But He could show up anytime, anywhere. And He's no respecter of persons, praise God. In the dream, Jacob saw a stairway going from earth to heaven with angels going between the two realms and the Lord at the top. Jacob would have understood the dream symbolism as the stairway being representative of a place where there was access to God. The main point of the dream being to affirm to Jacob that the Lord and His angels were present and active, even though he'd been unaware of them. That's what God wants us to get through Jacob's life. Even while we're unaware, God is moving. God is working. Prayer is effectual. Praise the Lord. We must remember, when you cannot see Jesus, Jesus sees you. Can you say amen? I said, when you cannot see Jesus, Jesus sees you. And as long as His eyes are upon you, He's going to direct you and He's going to help you. God knows where you are on your journey. You will never inform Him. When you pray about it, amen, to tell Him about what your needs are, your life experience is at that moment, and the grace you need or whatever you need, you're not going to alert Him to something that He doesn't already know. His eyes are upon the righteous. And God knows where you are. God knows what you need. Did you know that God knows what you need? I mean, if you think the God of the universe is smart enough to figure you out. Amen. The shrink can't. He's got a set. He can't go outside the box. He's limited by His set of questions. And the way you answer them to size you up, to get inside your head and try to figure you out and try to come up with a solution. Amen. I won't even tell you some of the things that I found out from. And God bless the shrinks. Everybody say, God bless the shrinks. What's his name, Phil, the psychologist? Dr. Phil. God bless Dr. Phil. God bless Ofra. God bless everybody out there. Amen. But I'd hate to think, amen, that all my hope was in Dr. Phil coming up with an answer. Can you say amen? Because he can't get outside the box. He's limited to certain things. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Amen. That we're so looking to somebody's book to solve all of our problems. Amen. And we've got a God who created us. Praise God. Right. Do you know what right this is for the Christian? This is your written warranty. If anything goes wrong, God says, bring it to me. I can fix it. But don't take it anywhere else because you'll violate the policy. Amen. If you're going to ask Dr. Phil to fix it and then try to get me to blend with that, I won't. If you're going to ask a psychologist to do it, then I won't. But if you come to me exclusively, everybody say Rolls Royce. You know what you get for your money other than a car that says I've arrived somewhere? You know what you get? You get a lifetime warranty, not a 100,000-mile guarantee like the Toyota. You get a lifetime warranty, but there's one catch to it. Amen. Anybody pops the hood and works on that engine other than the manufacturer who made the engine violates the agreement. It's not under warranty if a Ford technician works on it. It's not under warranty if a General Motors technician works on it. Amen. It's only under warranty if a certified, qualified Rolls-Royce technician works on it. Everybody say, this is my warranty. Honey, the God that made you, believe it or not, knows how to fix you. You know what you think you need. He knows exactly what you need. Sometimes I think I need rest from trials. And he says, what you need is trials to keep you from getting lazy. So he fixes me by allowing certain things that cause me to pray. Fervent prayers. You can forget how to pray fervently. It's not just the effectual prayers, the passionate ones that get answers. Not the passive ones that said, well, I hope he does, but if he don't, I'll go to the doctor. I hope he does, but if he don't, I can always go to this option. Amen. I always got plan B if plan A doesn't work. Passionate prayer says there is no plan B. Doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor. Don't mean you don't get help, but God is your exclusive number one source. Hallelujah. In Genesis 28:13, God begins to speak now to Jacob. After the vision, God begins to speak to him. And I don't know if I can get through them, but there's four things that we need to remember in uncertain times. And we're going to pick it up in verse 13 through 15. This is what happened right after the vision, the next verse. And behold, the Lord stood above it, the ladder that he saw, and said, now we're quoting, God is talking to him. I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. By the way, there's another name was going to be added to the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And guess whose name it was? This man with life filled with such uncertainties. Amen. The next time you hear after Bethel, the next thing you're going to hear, he's not just the God of Abraham anymore. And he's not just the God of Isaac. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you say amen? And honey, the list has been growing ever since then. For everyone that God has visited and everyone that has made God their source. Now he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Dinner. Can you imagine saying, God stepping out, amen, on the ramparts of heaven and saying, I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Dinner. And Dale said, Lord, have mercy. Dinner's going to get her after the service. She wouldn't have said that if I'd have said, I am the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Dale. Hallelujah. You see, the list has been growing. The list has been growing. Everyone that God has visited has made God their source. He has personally become your God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and George. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Mike. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Pamela, and Ruth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? You won't ever find him just Abraham's God or Jacob's or Isaac's God. He has Jacob's God too. What he's saying is, I'm your God. And you're my people. You're my sheep. And the land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it. and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Can you say amen? And to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. This is this guy that thought he was going nowhere fast, that didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. And lo, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken unto thee of. Can you say, man, does that sound like Jesus in the New Testament? Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'm not going to leave you until my promise is fulfilled. And then I won't have to leave you because you'll be with me forever. Can you say, man? In uncertain times, number one, we need God's promises. I'm going to preach fast if you'll listen fast. Everybody say, we need God's promises. First thing God reminds Jacob is the promise that he made. He basically says, I made a promise to your father Isaac and your grandfather Abraham to give you the very land where you're asleep as a stranger and to bless the whole world through your seed. And I'm going to do it. Everybody say, he's going to do it. Boy, if we have to figure it out, we're in trouble. If we have to bring it to pass, we're in trouble. But if God's going to do it because he promised he would do it, then we're not in any trouble at all. Hallelujah. We're not standing on shaky ground today. We're standing sure-footed, even though everything around us is shaky. We still stand sure-footed. He makes our feet like hinds' feet. And when you consider Jacob was leaving the promised land and that he had not one descendant at this time, this is a very reassuring promise. At this point in Jacob's journey, his return to the land and future offspring were very uncertain. So this promise brought stability and consolation to him. In uncertain times, we need to remember God's promises. Everybody say God's promises. Just because you don't see or feel don't mean God is not a keeper of his promises. God was the original promise keeper. God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and will he not do it? He watches over his word to perform it. His word and his oath to perform it, according to the book of Hebrews, is like an anchor, sure and steadfast for our soul. Though the storms, clouds come and the stormy winds blow, amen, we are anchored in the fact that God is a promise keeper, and we can claim the promise. But you have to go to a book, and this is the book. This is the promise book. The scriptures are filled with God's promises to his covenant children. Romans 15:4 said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. And there's nothing that generates hope like his promises. Lo, I'm with you always. Gives you hope when you don't see God working, when you don't see anything changing. But his promise is sure to all the seed. Amen. I like the Amplified Translation. It said, for whatsoever things were written in former days were written for instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the Scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. Read the book. Amen. When you feel discouraged, pick it up. Hallelujah. And begin to read where God promised to deliver you. Hallelujah. Pick it up and read it. Praise God. Read it again and read it again and read it again. Hallelujah. Focus on God and not the problem. That's what happens when we read the book. Someone said circumstances are like a mattress. If you're under the circumstances, it's like being under a mattress. You suffocate. Being on top of the circumstances is like being on top of a mattress. You find rest. What do you say when someone says, how are you? Well, I'm pretty good under the circumstances. Come on, I'm pretty good under the circumstance. Question God is asking is, what are we doing under the circumstances? Can you say amen? With a God that has promised to take the burden if we'll give it to him. Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to be on top of the circumstances. How do you get there? Focus on God. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look to Christ, you'll be at rest. Woo! Somebody go. We could bust a rhyme, couldn't we? Glory be to God. Pastor, bust a rhyme. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to bust another one before this sermon's over. I feel a praise welling up inside of me. Glory to God. God is a man of His Word. He's a promise keeper. Hallelujah. Didn't lie about that. Second thing we need to remember is His presence. Everybody say His presence. We must know that God is with us. That He's really, honestly with us. If we're to face the uncertain and fearful future with confidence, Jacob needed to know this also. So in verse 15, God very clearly said, I am with you. Jacob may have felt alone, but he was not alone. And neither are we. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yahweh is with us. I will never leave or forsake Him minute. He's not just there when you feel Him. He's not just there when you sense Him. He's there every step of the way. Hallelujah. This knowledge in the of His presence in storms can give us peace and confidence in uncertain times. We're never in a hopeless situation. God is always near. I really question some experiments on animals because I am an animal lover. The squirrels love me because I feed them peanuts. And when they see me come out with my two birds on my shoulder, they come running. And I know them now. There's one with a notched ear that's a mama. There's a mama squirrel that gets up in my lap. And, you know, she's just so sweet. There's others that are kind of nutty. Amen. So, and there's one blind one, young one that, it started coming blind in one eye, and you know, I throw him a peanut, and it's on his blind side, and he's looking around, and I have to try to get it to him, and I really take special care with him because, you know, he's having trouble foraging, and I want to make sure that he's fat. Amen. And when I read something about animals, but they find out a lot about behavioral training in experiments on animals. I don't approve of this experiment because it's not to heal a disease. It's just to find out about psychology and what they do to animals. It hurts. Let me just read this because I want to show you some of the devil's scheming. It's a good example of what he does. An experiment, true experiment, was done to prove the point that there is such a thing as learned helplessness. You come to a point where you lose hope and you give up and you learn to be helpless. But from that same experiment, we could also say there's such a thing as learned hopelessness. Not something you're just born with. It's something that life knocking you down enough seeds into you. The experiment was to take a dog and place him in a pen with a metal plate as the floor. An electric shock would be given, which would at first irritate the dog and make him angry. Later, he would just give up when he found out that his anger wasn't taking away any of the shock or pain. Later, he just gave up and laid down and moaned every time a shock came through the floor. This dog that says, I'm going to tear somebody up initially, all that's gone now. And he settled in, if I can't get out of here and I can't, through anger, stop this. I'll have to accept it. I don't have a choice. So he laid down on the floor. And every time the shock came, he just moaned. It's a perfect example of what the devil wants us to do in our time of trials. The devil's scheme is this: weaken their faith, try to make them lose sight of their Savior, then seek to tempt them and master their will. Just get them in a place of such hopelessness that all we can do is moan. And we make such jokes over moaning and groaning Christianity. But I believe moaning and groaning is coming from deep hurt inside. Amen. And that faith that has failed and that faith that has faltered, that is the faith that God wants to address through Jacob's ladder. He wants you to know that though you prayed and some pain and pressure still exist, that there is a God in heaven that is with you. Amen. And the Bible said concerning that patient endurance, amen, without giving up hope, no matter how long it takes, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. I'll tell you, if I was outside that cage watching that dog lay there and moan, I would want to say, you proved your point. Point well taken. Let him out. Give him to me. Let me take him home. Let me nourish him. Let me cherish him. Hallelujah. Let me show him there is hope and there is love in his world. Can you say amen? Somebody say, we got a God like that. That sets the captive free. That opens those prison doors. That you don't have to kill yourself in hopelessness to get out of the pain. When we become aware of Jesus with us, things begin to happen. Taken together, these things add up to total assurance. When we are aware that Jesus is with us, we are immediately comforted. We become more courageous. We can face what lies before us because we know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty, the All-Sufficient, All-Powerful, All-Wise, All-Loving Savior and Deliverer is with us. With Jesus beside us, who can stand against us? We become more confident that God will see us through. The devil cannot remain standing so strong against us when Jesus comes as our victor. He cannot succeed. Our confidence is no longer in ourselves to be able to survive, to endure, to conquer. Our confidence is in Christ, who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'll go before you. Elihu in the book of Job asked, where is the God who giveth songs in the night of Job? And David answered that in the 42nd Psalm and answered, in the night his song shall be with me. Can you say, man? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yea, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:35-39. Hallelujah. The 1992 Olympics in Barcelona featured memorable moments from sports history. This is incredible to me. Derek Redmond of Great Britain was on his way to fulfilling a lifelong dream and winning gold medal in the Olympics. He had earned a spot in the semifinals of the 400-meter race, and as the gun sounded to start the race, Derek got off to a great start. He was running the race of his life. The finish line was in sight when suddenly he felt a stab of pain in his right leg. He fell face first to the track with a torn hamstring. The race seemingly was over for Derek. He struggled to his feet before the medical team could reach him. Though every runner had passed him, he began hopping forward, tears of pain and disappointment streaking his face, determined to finish the race. Suddenly, a man plowed through the security guards on the sidelines and ran onto the track. He raced up to Derek and hugged him. You don't have to do this, Jim Redmond told his weeping son. Yes, I do, Derek answered. Well then, his father said, we're going to finish this race together. Derek's father gripped his son around the shoulders and they faced the finish line, resolutely waving off the security men who hovered around them. They limped and hopped together, Derek's head sometimes buried in his father's shoulder, and stayed in Derek's lane all the way to the end. The watching crowd gaped at first at the unusual scene. Then one by one they rose to their feet and began cheering and crying at the son's determination and the father's support. Wherefore we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to who comes to help us to the finish line, no matter what has hurt us along the way, to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to remember God is a protector in uncertain times. I read of a Christian family, flaked out as the rest of us. The mother took the baby and in that infant chair, 12-month-old baby, put it in that infant chair to strap in the back seat, sit it on the top of the thing on the top of the car while she grabbed some stuff out of the back seat to make room for it, took it in the house, ran back and jumped in the car, and took off down the highway with the baby sitting on the top of the car in the infant seat. Rounded a corner, went down three or four streets I was reading, and got up onto the freeway. And the infant is sitting on top of the car as she approached 50 miles an hour to get up onto the freeway and more. As she turned the curve onto the freeway, the baby came off the top of the car, hit the freeway, went across two lanes of traffic on the freeway, landed in the median, and skidded down the median. And she saw her baby skidding down the median in that infant seat, unscathed by it all. Happenstance? No, darling. Angels? Oh, yeah. Had to be. No way. You think that woman didn't get out and say, there is a God in Israel. Foolish as I am, there's still a God on the throne. Amen. Busy as we are, there's a God that wants to intervene in your life. There's a God that wants to have intercourse with you. There's a God that wants to come into your life. There is a God who wants to know you and you to know Him. It's what Jacob's ladder is all about. There is a God in Israel, and He's going to become the God of Jacob. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for my hand upon thee, thine enemy would have sifted thee as the wheat as well, but I have prayed for thee. I have interceded as your great high priest. Even when you couldn't pray to me, I prayed for you, saith the Lord Almighty. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, I'll watch over you. I'll keep you where you go. It's the word to watch over. And it talks about God's provision as well as His protection. I will watch over you. I will watch over you. I will watch over you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast in all your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. What it says in the Greek is, cast all your care, the whole of your anxiety, once and for all upon Him, because He cares for you and watches over you affectionately. Can you say amen? That's God's protective hand, God's preventive hand. Where would we have been if God hadn't intervened in our behalf? Anybody believe that God has actually intervened in your behalf somewhere in your life? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It had a dual meaning to watch over you in verse 15, which literally meant to keep. It means to watch over. And the Hebrew word for watch meant to protect and provide for or to take care of. The word is first used in Genesis 2:15, where God instructs Adam to take care of the garden, provide for its needs. This means God was promising to provide for Jacob's needs in addition to protecting him from harm. No wonder Jacob called the place Bethel. I'm going to call this the house of the Lord. Right here in the middle of nowhere. Because this is where He showed up to help me. Can you say amen? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He said in verse 17, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There's none other. This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. By the way, wherever you are, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Early the next morning, verse 18 says, this is a new NIV, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey I'm taking, give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I can return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone I've set up as a pillar and will be God's house. And all that you give me will I give you a tenth. Wow. Nobody even sent him a letter. Can you say amen? Glory to God. He said, God's been so good to me. I'm going to bless him back by following him as my God and serving him. Hallelujah. You may feel like the armpit of the body of Christ sometimes. You may feel like the black sheep in his family. But I want you to know that God loves you. You may feel like you don't deserve the rich blessings of the Lord. But grace is not about deserving. It's about God's goodness and God's faithfulness. doesn't mean we can go out and sin with impunity. It doesn't mean that we can walk in rebellion and expect blessings. But it does mean, amen, that there's not a person in here that God doesn't love like he loved Jacob. And that God doesn't love like he loved Abraham and Isaac. And it doesn't mean that you can't add your name to those who know this God and look to him and serve him. Can you say amen? How many are climbing Jacob's ladder? Figuratively speaking, we're on our way to a heaven that has been opened wide to us through grace. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, God is with us, keeping us every step of the way. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Let's let this play this morning. Let's just love the Lord. Let's love him today. If you're going through something, please look to God again. When I was emotionally distraught, going through nervous exhaustion, I couldn't find the God that I loved. And because he's a spirit, he couldn't just bypass my torn, tattered nerves and show himself to me. But looking back on it, amen, when the devil screamed in my ear that God, when you need him the most, has abandoned you. He lied through his teeth. If it wasn't for God's grace, I would have been torn apart. But God somehow, some way, took this prisoner out of a dark prison house and brought me, as David said, into a large place. Out of that confinement into a place of liberty and love. And I know more about his grace now than I would have ever known had I not went through that dark valley. And God in his mercy monitored me every step of the way. And he did not let me fall prey to my enemy. I love him for that today. And I declare this good God to you, no matter where you are, what you're going through. There's a good God that loves you. And if you'll trust him just a little while longer, amen, he'll bring you through that thing. And his name will be glorified and you'll find your